Well, I want to welcome those that have joined us via the internet. We sign on about 11:15 every week and spare people the announcements and all that kind of stuff. But we've been asked before to include that, but I think it works better if we just sign on 11:15. That way when we post the messages, that's really all that's out there and people don't have to go through all the other to get to them. And all of our messages are archived on the internet, so if you ever miss one, you can go back and listen to them. We have a very special treat today. We're glad to have with us Brother Brian Sipes and June Sipes. Brother Brian is a pastor over at Charity Bible Church in near Harmony, North Carolina. And I've known Brian since 1973 we met. And they became a grace church over there. Brian pastored a Baptist church. They became a grace church in late 81, and then they built a church in 82. And we've been over there probably every year, almost every year since then, either at a Bible conference or for a weekend meeting. And we love them to death. Some of you know their grandchildren that come here for our Bible school every year, Abby and Luke and Brianna. They've been here almost every year we've had a Bible school, and we went to New York together. We had a great time, and people said, you know, boy, with y'all going up there, New York will never be the same. I want to tell you something. We didn't change a thing. We didn't change a thing. And but we had a good time, a fellowship, and I encouraged them to stay over, and I'm glad they did, and Brian's going to come and bring the message for us this morning. I always enjoy his preaching. I know you will, and those on the internet, I know you'll enjoy it as well. Again, we welcome those on the internet and always are thankful for all those that tune in. We usually have a good number on there, and I would expect the number would even be up this morning some. So, Brother Brian, you come on and preach to us. You can preach as long as you want to, but we leave at noon. So...
I did learn something while I was up there in New York. If you ever go up there, I'll tell you how you can tell the difference between an outsider like us or a New Yorker. Watch how they walk. Now, you're standing at a light, waiting to cross. You know, you waiting on that light. There's not just one or two of you. There's a whole bunch of people. Now, a New Yorker, when that light turns to go, they do this. An outsider does this. I did notice that, y'all. Because, you know, Southern people outside the city, they don't want to step on people. They don't run over people. Them New Yorkers, they don't care whether they run over you or not. You have to get out of their way, man. And so, if you ever go up there, watch how they walk at them lights. Some of them take long strides and others we're just going across. I enjoyed being there. I enjoyed the fellowship. I appreciate your pastor and his wife. I think you ought to thank the Lord every day that you got a man like Steve Atwood and Sister Mary. I appreciate his stand for the truth, his love for the Lord, and his love for you. And I've always admired that about Steve, and I appreciate him, and I enjoyed being with him and fellowship with him. And he wore me out walking, but we always ended up at McDonald's, though. Oh, it was great, though. Anyway, I want you to turn to John, and I've got just something that's on my mind, and so I don't have no outline or nothing. This is just one of those, so, and I won't hold you but just a few minutes anyway. I promise you. I want you to look in John chapter 18. John chapter 18. And I want to just think about
what the Lord Jesus Christ did for the body of Christ, for us. If you're saved today, you need to realize just what all the Lord did for you. You say, well, I know He saved me. Well, what was involved in Him being able to save you? It wasn't just the fact. Your sins had to be paid for. Your sins had to be dealt with. And God was the only one that could deal with them. He was the only one that could take care of them. And I want you to look in John chapter 18. And, you know, I begin to read this and verse 10 it says, then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant, cut off his right ear. I've always thought he meant to cut his head off. And he just missed. He's fighting. He's going to fight. And he goes on, and the servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? And he did drink it. Look over with me in back in Luke. In Luke. And notice in verse, he's out praying, verse 40. And Luke, did I tell you chapter? You're supposed to know all things. where's your unction at this morning? Chapter 22, Luke chapter 22, verse 40. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. The cup that he had to drink. And I want you to see that cup this morning. He's drinking that cup, and whatever's in that cup was for you. Whatever that cup contains, you was to drink it. I want you to look at this thing in this cup. Turn back with me to notice Job. Job chapter 21. Job chapter 21. He's talking about the wicked. Verse 17. How oft is the candle of the wicked put out? How oft cometh their destruction upon them? God distributed sorrows in his anger. They are as stubble before the wind, as chaff that the storm carrieth away. God layeth up his iniquity for his children. He rewardeth him, and he shall know it. His eyes shall see his destruction, and he shall drink of the wrath of the Almighty. For what pleasure hath he in his house after him, when the number of his months is cut off in the midst? Verse 20 says that his eyes, the wicked, shall see his destruction, and he shall drink of the wrath of the Almighty. Look over in Psalm 75. Psalm 75. We get a picture of what's in that cup. It's the wrath of Almighty God. In Psalm 75, Verse 7, but God is the judge. He putteth down one, he set up another. For in the hand of the Lord there is a cup, and the wine is red and is full of mixture, and he poureth out of the same. But the dregs thereof, all the wicked of the earth shall wring them out and shall drink them. Now folks, there's a day a coming when God is not going to be speaking unto this world in grace and truth. Today, God Almighty is sending forth ambassadors. He's offering this world grace, peace. He's offering them salvation. God's not dealing with one nation today. God's dealing with all nations today. Salvation is not flowing through the nation Israel out to other nations as it will in the kingdom. But salvation is for individual people, and salvation is to all men. Paul said that God would have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. There is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. If you're sitting here today or listening over the internet, and folks, your sins, how Jesus Christ has drank the cup of the wrath of God that was for your iniquities. You understand? There's no need in arguing about this. You can't drink that cup. If you drink that cup, it's everlasting destruction for you. People say, I had a man to stand in the yard of the church one time, and we was talking about how Christ had went to the cross, he had died, and how that God had, he had buried him, and he had risen the third day, and how that the Lord had done everything. He looked at me and he told me, he said, I don't want nobody to pay for my sins. I'll pay for them myself. What kind of attitude is that? If you pay for your sins, it's going to be in the everlasting lake of fire, and you'll pay for them as long as God Almighty lives. And how long is that? That's forever. But I want you to understand today that there was a man 2,000 years ago that walked on this earth. He went to the cross. He lived a life born of a virgin, lived a life without sin. No gall was found in his mouth. He never had an evil thought. He lived a perfect life. He kept God's law perfect. There was no fault in him. They brought up false accusations. They could not prove nothing against him. He looked at that crowd and he said, which of you convinces me of sin? He was the sinless Son of Almighty God, and yet he went to a criminal's cross, and God poured his wrath out on him and judged him in your stead for your crimes that you have committed against God Almighty. You say, well, I didn't commit none. You were born, weren't you? Weren't you? Is that in the Word? Weren't you? That's it. You can look that up in B.R. Sipes' dictionary, and you'll find it there. But folks, everything today, no matter who they are, no matter where they come from, no matter where they're going, Jesus Christ, the Son of Almighty God, took of that cup that he said, Father, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. Not my will, but thy will be done. And it's though God would say, there is no other way. There is no way that I can bring these people and save these people without somebody taking that sin and the sins of the flesh, and without somebody being judged and the punishment dealt out for those sins, It's got to be that way. And he drank that cup for everybody that's in this building and for everybody that's in the world. And the thing that keeps the wrath of Almighty God off of this world is the thing that this world hates. And it's the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God delivered him up, Paul said in Romans chapter 8. And God offered his only begotten Son for your sins. And the Bible said that God made him who knew no sin to be made sin, that we might be made the righteousness in him. And there God Almighty on that cross, he took what I was. He took my sin. He took my sins. You see, the Bible said that God made him to be sin, singular. And he also said he died for our sins, plural. You see, there's a root, sin, the old nature that I am, that I got from Adam, that my mom and daddy got from their mom and daddy all the way back to Adam. And that old nature produces sins. And your old nature might produce sins that my old nature hadn't thought about, or mine produces stuff that yours don't. But nevertheless, every one of us has an old nature, and that old nature produces sins. So God made him to be sin. God's Son became what you are, the sinner that you are. And God's Son became sin. And he died your death on that cross for your sins that the old nature produces. Everything's covered. And he shed his blood. And we have redemption through his blood. God judged his Son in A.D. 33. And God poured his wrath out on his Son. And his Son died. And in Acts chapter 2 said he went to hell. And you know, I believe that Almighty God had to deal with whatever brought about the death of his Son before he could raise him up. Turn with me to Colossians and look in Colossians. In Colossians chapter 2. And I know a lot of people don't believe this, but it don't matter what a lot of people think about it. I believe this book. In Colossians chapter 2, notice what it says there in verse 10. And if you trust Christ as your Savior, I mean you trust what He did for you. You trust that He went to that cross for you. You trust the gospel of Christ, that He died for your sins. Verse 10, you're right there. The Bible said, and ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. That ain't that circumcision that took place when he was 8 days old in Matthew chapter 1. That ain't the circumcision that he's talking about there. God on that cross, God Almighty made him to be sin. And I believe on that cross is where the spiritual circumcision took place. Notice what he said there, putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. Folks, there's not a drop of water in verse 12. That's a spiritual baptism. That's a baptism into his death. Notice what he says there. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened being made alive, quickened. You know what? Getting it nailed down in the quick. You know it's alive, don't you? Quickened. Look what he said. He hath quickened together with him, having what? Having forgiven you all trespasses. Now you know what all means in the Greek? Same thing it does in the English. All. Having forgiven you all trespasses. It's almost like hath he quickened together with him. When was he quickened? On resurrection, wasn't he? He was raised from the dead, quickened together with him, having forgiven. It's almost as though if God hadn't forgave the trespasses, if one sin, one trespass hadn't been forgiven, would that one sin's wage, what would that have been? The wages of sin is what? Death. The payment for one sin is death. If God hadn't have done something with the sin, He couldn't have got His Son out of the grave. Don't you see? He became what you are. And God Almighty forgave and raised His Son up. And you came up with Him. Look with me in chapter 2 of Ephesians. And it's all because he drank and bore the wrath. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Notice something else about him. In Ephesians chapter 2, notice what he said in verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved. And hath raised us up together. And hath made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Are you seated up there with Him? You sure are, just as much as you're seated right here. Look back in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. You know, what the Lord did for us, He provided the sacrifice. He provided the salvation. I don't have nothing to do with it. I just receive it, believe it. You know how I know I'm saved? Because God said if I'd receive it, He'd save me. I didn't have to walk aisle, be baptized, although I did that many times. I've told y'all up here a lot of times, I've been baptized 5 times. I've been in the pool, the river, the creek, the pond, the baptistry, running water, warm water, cold water. I mean, I've been dipped 5 times. You know what? Them 5 times that I've been baptized, the only thing it done for me, got me wet. Got me wet and embarrassed. It's awful, isn't it? Clothes sticking to you. You have to have on 2 t-shirts. Because, you know, I mean, it's amazing. Now, what? And people say, well, that's a sign of the death, burial, and resurrection. It might, death, burial. Who buries people in water anyway? Folks, it's amazing. And I'm not here just to condemn you over that. But folks, you don't have to have no religious ceremony. You don't have to have some work of the flesh in order for God to save you. You trust what He did on the cross. Believe that He died for you. Believe that He drank of that cup for you. Believe that He paid the payment to God for you. And God will save you right where you're sitting right now. And nobody will know it till you tell them. And it's a wonderful thing to have peace. Look in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Notice what he says there in verse 29. And the key word in verse 29 is foreknow. For whom he did foreknow. He knowledge that he foreknew about you. Look what he said. He also did predestinate. And people get afraid of that word. But that word is not a... It's just a big old word. It's predestined. He predetermined something about you. He foreknew something about you. And based on that foreknowledge, he predetermined something about you. Look what he did. To be conformed to the image of his Son. That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Then he predetermined what? That you to be conformed to the image of his Son. You're going to be an adopted son. You are an adopted son of God. But you have one problem. You can't get to where he's at in that old flesh. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. But we're already translated there, according to Colossians chapter 1. So what am I waiting for? I'm waiting for a change. I'm waiting for the hope of righteousness. I'm waiting for a new body. One of these days he's going to change this vile body and fashion it like unto his glorious body. And we're going to be in the image of God Almighty's Son. And we're going to be able to travel and go out into the inheritance that he has for us in all eternity. Thank God for grace today, folks. You don't earn it. You don't work for it. It's a free gift. And God did everything that needed to be done to save you and give you eternal life. All you have to do is accept. There's no reason why anybody in this building or anybody on the internet or anybody in the world should even go to hell. Why? Because the payment has been made. Thank God for it. Look what he says there in verse 30. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also what? Well, folks, if you're justified, are you glorified? You sure are. I'm just having you to run all over the place. Turn back to Colossians. I'm going to wind her down here. I told you I wasn't going to be just a few minutes. I'm going to let you out before Steve does. I want you to say, get him back. Look in Colossians chapter 1. Verse there, look what he said in verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints of light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. But it's not a reality to us. Why? We got to have a new body to get there. And that's where he says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. Paul said, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. What's keeping the Lord from coming? He's done drank of the cup of the wrath of Almighty God. 2,000 years ago, he did that. And yet he's not came back for the church. I tell you, when the last one believes on the Lord Jesus Christ and the body's complete, then that body will be gone. I look at the body like Adam. I believe when God created Adam, he made him a And he's standing straight up. I don't believe he's laying down. I believe God created the body, and if you could have stood on the sidelines and looked, I believe you'd saw Adam, a man, standing there, a body. And when God put the last part, when that last Adam, when that last cell right into that body, and the body was complete, God Almighty breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. I believe that he just... And Adam opened his eyes and he saw the Creator. And I believe the day God's forming a new Adam, a new body, the body of Christ. And when that last cell, when that last Adam, when that last part, when that last organ, when all is complete and the body is complete, then the Lord will breathe with that shout. And you know what the body's going to do? We're going to open our eyes and see the Lord and meet Him together as one unit. Thank God for grace today, folks. Aren't you glad you're saved? Aren't you glad He did it all for you? I'm glad that He went to that cross. I'm glad that I don't have to drink of that wrath. Just a few other while you're there, look back in Romans. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Notice what he says. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners, the love of God demonstrated to us His love. While we were sinners, don't you know, enemies, unlovable, Christ died for us. He drank to that cup. I can't get that in my mind. You know what to me grace is? God Almighty looked at me, and His Son went to that cross and died and drank to that cup. It's not the fact that He would save me, but it's the fact that He knew how I would live and be after He saved me, and He saved me anyway. To me, that's grace. It isn't that He saw, well, old Brian, he's going to fail me so many times and let me down. He don't deserve what I'm going to do for him. I'm just not going to save him because he can't live up to it anyway. No, no, no. He never thought that way. His Son drank to that cup and I received Him. He saved me, and Him knowing that I'd fail Him, He saved me anyway. That's grace. I didn't do nothing to get it, and I can't do nothing to keep it. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for it. Look what he said in verse 9. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from what? Wrath through Him. I want you to know, folks, I'll never experience the wrath of Almighty God, because Jesus Christ experienced it for me. I'll never be judged for my sins. Why? Jesus Christ was judged for them. I'll never die a death. If you're saved, you'll never experience death. Why? He abolished it. He died your death. There is no sting of death. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. And Jesus Christ on the cross, He died for the sin. He took the sting out of death, and He abolished the law, the thing that could condemn you, so that God saith in you, I see find no fault in Him. Praise His holy name. And we're saved from wrath. Why would you not trust Him as your Savior? Thank you for allowing me to this time, Brother Steve. Appreciate the opportunity.